concerning our giving, this particular instance, it refers to our giving to the poor, or our giving not to the church necessarily, but specifically to relieve human suffering. And I think we could call that a part of our giving to the Lord when we give in the name of the Lord. And you'll see why in just a moment. 17th verse of Proverbs 19. He that hath pity upon the poor, in other words, gives to the poor in order to relieve his suffering, lendeth unto the Lord. Now that word lendeth, it actually means that, makes a loan to the Lord. And that which he hath given, will he, that is the Lord, pay him again. In other words, when we give into the work of the Lord, specifically in this case, the promise has to do with giving to the poor, we are making a loan to the Lord, so to speak, and the Lord will repay that loan. In other words, he will see that the giver is responded to in a financial way. Let's go over to the 28th proverb, 28th chapter of Proverbs, the 27th verse. Same idea. I'm using these two proverbs tonight just as an example of something, and then I want to spring from that just a moment. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. He that giveth to the poor shall not lack. Now, on the basis of those two proverbs and those two alone, you could develop a very sound theology that says, if you'd want to get rich, or if you want to be sure that you never lack anything, just go down and give a little something to some poor folk. The promise of God is that you won't lack. The promise of God is that he will repay you again. But Rob told us a little earlier that all Scripture is inspired by God. And if you want to know about giving, and if you want to know about stewardship, we're going to have to read just a little further than the promise Scriptures. We're going to have to read just a little further than the gimme Scriptures. We're going to have to read just a little further than the Scriptures that promise us the moon. We're going to have to find if there are any conditions in the Scripture. There are some when it comes to our giving. One of the most powerful is in 1 Corinthians, in chapter number 13. 1 Corinthians, chapter number 13. Just because you have pity on the poor, just because you give to the poor, does not mean that God undertakes a debt to you. Nor does it mean that you will not have any lack in your life. There are conditions whereby you could give everything you had to the poor in the name of the Lord and still have lack. There are times when you could give to the Lord, or give to the Lord, to the church, to the poor, to anybody in the name of the Lord, and give with the wrong motives. You will not expect any return. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 through 4. The word charity in this passage, this is one of the most familiar in all of the Bible, this chapter. The word charity is an Elizabethan word that is translated from the Greek word agape, which we know to mean love. And so when I read the word charity, I'm going to use the word love. I'm going to substitute that. It's a word that we have a greater familiarity with. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. Verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Nothing. I could give everything I had to the poor. I could give everything I had to the church. I could give everything I had to the program, to the Lord. But there are some cases whereby I could make that sacrificial and substantial gift and it be absolutely unprofitable for me. unprofitable in a financial way, unprofitable in a spiritual way, unprofitable in every other way. For Paul said that if I give all my goods to feed the poor, but I lack love, my motive is wrong. I'm giving selfishly. Then my giving profits me nothing. There's no benefit to it. Now, this is why I say continually, some of you might think, Pastor, quit saying that. You're going to discourage people from giving when you say, if you give grudgingly, or if you feel that you don't want to give this, if you feel like you have to give it, then don't give it. You need it more than God. But do you understand why? They do need it more than God. If you give it grudgingly, or if you give it with the wrong motivation, you need it more than God. Because if you give it into the Lord's work and you give it with the wrong motive, expecting Him to multiply it back to you, you'll starve. For it profits you how much?
Nothing.
Nothing. You're not planting seed in good soil. You're throwing it on the stones. And it will benefit you nothing. It'll profit you nothing. I think if I had tithed very long, and it did not seem to be working for me, I think I would carefully examine my motives. I think I would say, Lord, is there something wrong in my heart? Is there something wrong with what I'm doing? Is there something wrong with the reasons that I've been giving? I'd certainly do something to find out what was wrong, wouldn't you? Matthew 23. These words from the lips of Jesus. Matthew 23. It's the only time that Jesus talked about tithing expressly where he actually used the word tithe. He talked about giving many, many times on multiplied occasions. He talked about stewardship over and over again. He taught more about stewardship in the Gospels than any other subject, including heaven or hell or salvation. Well, most of his parables were about stewardship. Matthew 23:23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. Who were they? They're the religious leaders of his day. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For you pay tithes. These were tithe payers. You pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin. In other words, of your material possessions, these were spices, like money, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. In other words, you have not done those things which are more important. Judgment, making right judgment concerning things. Mercy, what would be another word for mercy? Compassion, what would be another word for compassion? Love, thank you. You've omitted the weightier matters of the law. Judgment, love, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. In other words, don't stop tithing, but change your motive. Change your attitude. I brought you a teaching several years ago. Perhaps we just turn over to it just a moment. Let me remind you of it from 2 Corinthians, chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, reading from verse 8. Paul is writing the Corinthians, and he is talking to them about an offering that they said to Paul sometime previously that they were going to take up among themselves to be sent to Jerusalem to relieve the brethren who were suffering there. And Paul wrote the Corinthian church and said, I want you to gather these monies together before I get there so that we don't have to go around gathering offerings when it should be all ready when I get there so that we don't be delayed and that I can take them and go on to Jerusalem to take them to the brethren. And he was encouraging the Corinthians concerning using the Macedonians, primarily the Philippians, I would think, for their stewardship, that out of their poverty they had learned great generosity and great liberality in their giving. And he was encouraging the Corinthians to do the same. Verse 7, last part, he said, see that you abound in this grace also, that is, in the grace of your stewardship. In verse 8, I speak not by commandment. In other words, this is not a command that you give this offering, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. Our stewardship proves the sincerity of our love. The word sincerity there could be translated also genuineness. And I have a note in the margin of my Bible that our stewardship proves the genuineness of our agape. Whether we are really walking and acting in love will be evidenced in the kind of stewardship that we have. Verse 24, same chapter, same idea. Wherefore show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and our boasting on your behalf. What was the proof of that love? It was the gift that they were taking. Now I'd like for you to turn to Luke chapter 18 with me. Let's look at one more very familiar story. I'm certain that that's why Paul, when he wrote these same Corinthians just a chapter later from where we read, he said, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, not as he purposeth in his pocketbook, but as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. You've heard that verse as long as you've been around churches. And all Paul is saying is the primary concern with God with regard to our stewardship is the motivation of our heart. It is not the size of the gift that matters. It is the reason that we give it. It's the motivation of our gift. I encourage you, if you can give $5 a week and give it with joy and gratitude, and giving a tithe, if your tithe would be 40, and giving 40 would make you a wrinkled, crusty, old, stick-in-the-mud kind of grouch, then you give your $5 a week and stay happy in Jesus. And let the Spirit of God work on you. For you to give 40 and get your nose bent out of joint over it would be detrimental to your spiritual health. It would also be extremely uncomfortable for all the rest of us. And so I'd be blessed if you would take that counsel. St. Luke, chapter number 18, beginning to read in the 9th verse. And he, Jesus, spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, the other a publican. Now, we heard that a Pharisee was a religious leader. He would be a big muckety-muck in the church of his day. What would be a publican? A tax collector, a hated man. All the tax collectors were robbers. They were thieves. They were extortioners. They were appointed by Rome to collect Rome's tax. And Rome said, you give us X amount, whatever else you collect, you can keep. And so they extorted from the people in the name of Rome substantial amounts of money that was not Rome's tax, and they lined their own pockets with it. They were hated by the people because they had the soldiers of Rome to back up their demands. So here's a man who is a religious person. He looks religious. He's got a nice religious smile. His eyes are real gentle and cow-like. You've got another man who's a rank sinner. He's a publican, hated by the people, probably snuck in to the temple while the Pharisee boldly glided in the door. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this publican. I fast twice in the week. Every week I fast 2 days. I give tithes of all that I possess. How about patting me on the back, God? I'm a tither. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Well, Pastor, I thought everybody that tithed obtained the blessings of God. You can tithe and have it not profit you anything if you tithe from the wrong motive and from the wrong heart attitude. I know lots of tithers that are going to split hell wide open. I know lots of people who give their tenth and who will burn forever. I was one of them. I tithed for 2 years. I made a tithe commitment 2 years in a row. 1973, we made a decision to tithe on our take-home net income. Tithed all year. I was lost as a blind duck. My wife was saved, but I was dead. Didn't know it, but I was. 1974, we made a decision to tithe off of our gross income. We felt that that was pleasing to the Lord because those deductions that were taken off of our check, we had the benefit from them. The income tax paid for governmental benefits and protections and so on, and hospitalization deduction, all that sort of thing. And we began to tithe off our net. Off our gross, I'm sorry. And I felt better about it, but I was lost. And I can tell you today, and I'm not, I'm not saying to you for effect. I mean, I know that if I were to have died prior to August 1975, I would be burning today. I would be crying for a drink of water. And I had been in church every Sunday of my life that I know of, except the few that I could count on my probably one hand, except for a year and a half that I spent in college. I got away from home and I was mostly drunk on Sunday mornings and couldn't have made it to church anyway. I knew about those things and I knew about tithing, and when I began to tithe, I still wasn't saved. Tithing is not the answer to every spiritual circumstance. But those of us who are spiritually healthy will tithe and go beyond that. And the reason that we will do it is because why? Because we love God. And if he said, I'm going to change my word, I can tell you for me tonight, right now, if God would say, I'm going to change my word, take all the stewardship promises out of there. Take Malachi 3:10 out of there. Take Proverbs 19 and 28. Take those all out of there. Take Luke 6:38 out of there. Take 2 Corinthians chapter 9 out of there. He that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. So take Galatians 6:9 out. Take all the good promises out of the Bible. I'd still tithe. I'd still give. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you want us to? Why would you do that? Because I'm not doing it as an investment. I love him. I love him. And I know it pleases him. And it's my reasonable service. And so I'd do it if there was no promise of a return. I pray that you would as well. Giving with the right attitude of the heart is the proof of our love. Just because you're the biggest tither in the church, just because you've been a tither all your life, just because you've never done anything other than that, does not place you in any position any higher than anybody else within the congregation or within the body of Christ. Jesus said, this rank sinner went down to his house more justified, where the other man who was a tither and a faster and all the rest of it did not. Why? Because his heart was filled with love towards God. He was responding to the mercy of God. He was coming to the Lord trusting in his love and compassion and mercy rather than in his own righteousness. So as you make your decisions this week as to how much you're going to give, I want you to include in that decision-making process how you are to give, with what attitude you're going to give. I know a man who's right in this congregation tonight, and I'll not identify him. But the first time he was confronted with the claims of Christ on his life, and particularly on his pocketbook, he would not make a decision to tithe. I remember it like it was yesterday. He was adamant. He made a commitment to give. It felt like that was good between him and the Lord. It wasn't a tithe. You and I know what the Bible says about it. So does he now. But in that day, that's all he could do. Anything more than that, you'd have had to squeeze out with a vice. But God honored that. God honored that because it came out of his heart. Even though he was resisting the tithe. I mean, he had his feet sturdy in the mud, in the ground. You couldn't move him. But God honored what he was willing to give out of love and took him where he was. It wasn't long before that man was totally and absolutely and completely committed to the Lord, and God has used him in a marvelous and mighty and wonderful way from that day to this, and will until the day that he goes to meet the Lord. Now, I don't want anybody to misunderstand what we are doing in this stewardship program. I want you to know that what God wants from you is your heart. Your heart. He wants yourself. He wants your life. We know what it says about the tithing and the part that's holy to the Lord and so on, and we talked about that this morning. But I want you to understand that the attitude of your heart is of eminently more importance than the amount of your gift or even the proportion of your gift. And so you make your decision. Please don't hide behind what I'm saying tonight. You see, Pastor said tonight, darling, that we don't have to tithe. I also said you don't have to give anything. You don't. You don't have to. But if you use this as a bush to hide behind, you're going to hide from God's best, and you're going to hide from God's blessings the same way. So please don't make that mistake. But what I am saying to you is don't give beyond where your heart is in an expectation of receiving the promises of God. For if you give your whole self, your body, and all of your finances, no matter how much you have, if you give it all, and give it with the wrong motivation, it will profit you how much?
Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. Nothing. Let's have everybody on their feet, please, as we have prayer. Let's have every head bowed, please. Every eye closed, nobody moving around. All of the children quiet as well. Father, as pastor of this congregation and overseer, I ask you to use this stewardship program to prove how genuine and how sincere is the love of every family in this congregation. Not that it may be measured in dollars and cents. We know better than that. Certainly I do. Only you can make that measurement. I can't. No man or group of men can. I want you to test our love. You said, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house, and prove me herewith, saith the Lord. You invited us to test you. Now we invite you to test us. I believe, Father, without exception, that you will find here as part of this local church family and body that you will find an entire group of people, you'll find 80 to 100 families that are committed to this work here, to which you may say, privately, probably, but that you may say, well done, good and faithful servants. But I am asking you, Father, that if you find us to be unfaithful as individual families, as individual members, as a church as a whole, Lord, please don't let us go on deceived. Don't let us go on disappointed. Don't allow us to go on frustrated. But instruct us by your holy inspired word. Correct us by your word. Reprove us by your word. Guide us in all righteousness by your word, your holy inspired word. Bring your word to set us straight, that we may correct whatever may be wrong and move another direction. We thank you, Lord, that your word is filled with promises to the faithful steward. We're glad that you established it that way. We wouldn't have it any other way, but we want you to know that even if there were no promises, wonderful as they are, we would still give because we love you. We've committed ourselves. Everything we have goes with us. We desire, Father, that there should never be a lack, that anyone should ever experience a lack because we withheld. We will give and continue to give so that there's a continual supply of meat in your house. The rest of it is your business. How you choose to use it and how you choose to respond to us because of it, that's up to you. We believe your promises. We expect you to honor them. But we just want you to know that our hearts are clean, that our hearts are pure. Insofar as we know, our motivations are proper and our attitudes are good. I pray, Father, that you'll minister and direct each individual family this week in the decisions that they are making with regard to their commitments for time and ability and financial resources. Bring us to a place of meaningful commitment. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.